Well, a couple of days ago, I went to a neighbor's house for a barbecue, and as I wiped my feet before I entered, looked out the doormat, and on the doormat was the words, "Welcome, Merry Christmas." I've seen a doormat with the words "Merry Christmas" on it before, and I thought, well, that's an interesting greeting. What does it actually mean? It's those words we throw around all the time this time of the year. Well, today, the word merry means lots of different things. If you were to describe someone at this time of the year as being merry, well, you'd probably mean they were a little bit under the weather. So I did a little digging to see what's the origin of this saying, Merry Christmas. And it appears that it was popularised by Charles Dickens in the 19th century in his best-selling work, The Christmas Carol. And at one point in that story, the cold-hearted, miserly Ebenezer Scrooge, who absolutely hates Christmas, is greeted by his nephew, and his words are, "A Merry Christmas, Uncle. God save you." Well, sometimes when we say Merry Christmas, it really has about as much meaning as the shop assistant who ends the transaction with, "Have a nice day." But if we understand merry in the real and deep sense of the word, in sense of being joyous, then it can be a greeting that has real depth of meaning. And for me, as I think about Merry Christmas and the joy that comes at Christmas time, I can't help but think of the words of a hymn by Isaac Watts, which we're going to sing in a little while. "Joy to the world, the Lord is come." And it's in that good news that a truly Merry Christmas is to be found. The Lord has come. And that's what we're here tonight to celebrate. The Lord Jesus has come. We're here to celebrate who he is and what it is that he has done for us. And as we do so, it's important that we turn again to the scriptures to look at the significance of Jesus' birth. Because from a purely human perspective, the birth of Jesus involved a pregnancy that was unplanned, unexpected, and initially unwelcome. Mary, who was pledged to be married to Joseph, is expecting a child. But what was Joseph to make of this news? As they hadn't as yet consummated their relationship, the most natural conclusion to reach was that Mary had been unfaithful. And in a small village such as Nazareth, which they came, it would have been virtually impossible for the presumed circumstances surrounding Mary's pregnancy not to be known by others. And when it did, it would have made Joseph and Mary the object of great shame and humiliation. So the way that Joseph responds when he learns that Mary is pregnant is nothing short of amazing. And it speaks volumes about his character. Now, according to Jewish law, he was entitled to break his commitment to marry Mary under those circumstances. But at the same time, he was also concerned about doing so in a way that would minimize any deep impact upon her. His initial reaction is one to try and limit the social and psychological damage that Mary would be impacted by his breaking off the relationship. But then God powerfully intervenes in the situation. An angel of the Lord appears in a dream to Joseph and says, "Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." There are two things that stand out to me in this message of the angel. The first is the obvious, that this was no ordinary pregnancy. It was a miracle brought about by the power of the Holy Spirit. God was at work in a truly extraordinary way. Some who would deny the truth of Jesus' virgin birth say that it's simply a legend that's created by the early Christians to give special honour to Jesus. But in fact, it does the exact opposite. Because in first century Palestine, it would have made Jesus the illegitimate child of a morally loose woman. And while the virgin birth may not sit easily with us, we should at least be open to the possibility that God, who is almighty, can and does at times powerfully intervene to change the way that things normally happen. God, who brought creation into being out of nothing, so he can bring about the virgin birth, it's not that hard for God, who is all-powerful, to accomplish, even if it doesn't fit in with our mindset. So the other thing that stands out to me about the angel's message is that the child to be born is to be given the name Jesus. That's not just some arbitrary label to distinguish him from other people. It was an indication of why it is that God was sending him into the world to save people from their sins. And so the angel's words point forward. They point forward to what Jesus would do in the closing hours of his earthly life, when he gave his life for the sin of the world, to bring us back into right relationship with God, the one who created us. And as Jesus hung on the cross, one of the thieves being crucified beside him said, "Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom." Jesus' reply to him was, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." And that same promise of welcome into the Father's presence is still open to us today, to all who turn to Jesus in repentance and faith. As Matthew continues his account of Jesus' birth, reflecting on the significance of it, he writes this: "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." And those words that Matthew is citing, they were words that the prophet Isaiah had spoken some 700 years earlier, inspired by the Spirit of God. He had foreseen the manner in which God himself would come to his people. So it was that in the fullness of time, Jesus was born to the Virgin Mary, born to be Emmanuel, God with us, God as one of us. In the reading we just heard from the opening chapter of John's Gospel, what we heard was a powerful reflection upon who Jesus is. There's no detail about the birth of Jesus, just a reflection on his significance. And what we see there is that Jesus didn't suddenly come into existence at the time of his birth in Bethlehem, but rather he had existed for all eternity with the Father. And John describes Jesus as the eternal Word of God, through whom all creation came into being. He writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing that was made that has been made." And as John continues to reflect on who Jesus is, he says, "And the Word became flesh. He made his dwelling among us." See, in Jesus, God enfleshed himself in our humanity. And as an eyewitness to the earthly life of Jesus, and as someone who had met the risen Jesus, John could say of Jesus, "We have seen his glory, the glory as of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." And in that one sentence, we have three words that are incredibly rich in meaning. Glory, word that's associated with the presence of God himself. Grace, which is God's unmerited favour towards us in Jesus. And truth, which is perfectly embodied in the life of Jesus, who said he was the way, the truth, and the life, for whom we come to the Father. glory, grace, and truth, they are to be found in our Lord Jesus Christ. The closing words of John's reflection on the city of Jesus are, no one has ever seen God, but the only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, he has made him known. See, so fully did Jesus do that, that when the disciple Philip said to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, Jesus could reply, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Philip's request, show us the Father, was in many ways quite similar to the deep spiritual longings that many have today. Does God really exist? And if he does, what is he like? And the answer to those questions is to be found in the person of Jesus, the one whose birth we're here to celebrate tonight. In him, we can know a joy that extends beyond this festive season, a joy that is true, a joy that is deep, and a joy that will last for all eternity. In Joy to the World continues with the words of invitation. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room. That God has come to us in Jesus and revealed himself to us necessarily requires a response of us. And we see in the days of his earthly life, people responded to Jesus in very different ways, ranging from hostile rejection right through to genuine faith, and in between with varying degrees of apathy. And we still see the same responses today. Hostile rejection of Jesus, genuine faith in him, and the couldn't care less attitude. But we're here tonight to celebrate a momentous event in the coming of Jesus. God was revealing himself to us. God was inviting us to welcome the one who was the long-promised King, the long-promised Saviour. But in the midst of his reflection on the significance of Jesus, he writes these words. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. But thankfully, that was not the only response that people made to Jesus. There were also those who accepted Jesus for who he truly was. Those who did receive him, who believed in his name, to them, John writes, he gave the right to become the children of God. So, Jesus, to know Jesus and the joy that comes from him is something that only an orphan child can, I think, begin to understand. And he comes into an adopting family. That incredible sense of belonging and joy, of being home. It's only when we recognise our need of God that we can appreciate the joy that comes from knowing God. It's only in Jesus that we can know the fullness of joy that he came to bring. Now, we live more than 2,000 years after the birth of Jesus, so we're not in the same position as those who directly experienced his earthly life or were eyewitnesses to his resurrection. But the reality of Jesus is something that we can still know today. In the New Testament, we have the apostolic witness of Jesus. And as we come to the scriptures with open hearts, I believe God powerfully speaks to us and makes Jesus increasingly real to us. But we must come with open hearts and minds. And it's not just about reading the scriptures, it's also about the work of the Spirit of God in our lives. Jesus continues to come to us through the Holy Spirit, who works within us to draw us to Jesus and to make him real to us today. Many years ago, I came across a prayer in a book that was written for people who were genuinely seeking God. And the prayer goes like this. God, if you exist, and I don't know if you do, but if you can hear this prayer, and I don't know if you can, I want to tell you that I'm an honest seeker after the truth. Show me if Jesus is your Son and the Saviour of the world. And if you bring conviction to my mind, I will trust him as my Saviour and follow him as my Lord. I would offer you that prayer tonight as one that you might either pray for yourself or share with someone else who is genuinely seeking after God. In Jesus, we find the one who is the fulfillment of God's promises to his people. In Jesus, we find God himself coming to us as one of us, Jesus, our Emmanuel. And Jesus, the one who reconciles us to God. That is why Christmas is such a joyous occasion. And this year, may we welcome afresh Jesus into our lives and know the true joy of Christmas.